Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. I am your host, Stephanie Diaz, and I am super excited. We've already got the laughs going on in the studio, so I know that this is going to be a really fun show. For you guys that are listening live, I want to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at North Fulton BRX. You'll get some behind-the-scenes photos of all the fun that we're having here in studio. But let's dive into some of two of Atlanta's newer startups. We have Alex Hahn and David Choi from Pupwalker in the house today. Guys, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Stephanie. It's good to be here.
Hello, everybody.
We're having a lot of fun with microphones today.
Yeah.
I met you guys at the Switchyards Consumer Show last month or the month before.
Yeah, I think it was the June. Yeah, in June.
Rock on. And, you know, I've had a lot of startups on the show here and usually meet them at these, you know, pitch events that are hosted around the city all the time. But you guys really stood out. And I'm so excited to have you here. Something that you did really, really well in your pitch is to bring like this lively personality that was just genuine, authentic, and it put the entire crowd like just in a good mood. And that's not easy to do. And so I want to give you guys props for that. So great job. Well done. But you know, having kind of like that brand that really just makes people comfortable and connect, like it's so hard for people to do that, especially right out of the gate. So we're going to be diving into that and a whole lot more. But before we do, why don't you guys introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name is David Choi. I work at Pupwalker.
Hey guys, my name is Alex Hahn, one of the founders of Pupwalker. David and I have known each other for, gosh, since fourth grade. Not good at math right now, so I don't know how many years that translates to, but a very long time.
About 65 years.
So back to the days of protecting each other on the playground and all that good stuff.
Yeah. We were probably the ones people needed protection from, honestly. We were a little bit of troublemakers back
in
the day.
Yeah.
Okay, we won't go there. I love it. Okay, so, and then you guys both went to Georgia Tech?
Yes, that's right.
All right, and then you graduated, and you did not go right into launching your own startup. You went into the corporate world first.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to start?
Yeah, so I'll go ahead. We already kind of told the story beforehand. But so Alex and I had been friends for a long time. And when we got into tech, we kind of made it a point to make sure that we met each other every month. So we'd meet for lunch, dinner, something like that, and catch up. And when it came time for graduation, we knew that we wanted to try startup, whatever that meant at the time. So we kind of found ourselves in a really good position because I studied industrial engineering, which is an operations-based field of study, and Alex was in business and finance. So those two things collectively are effectively 90% of everything you need in a business. So we took our jobs. Alex went into investment banking. I went into a startup kind of job. Yeah, the point was to go 2 years and then afterwards start our company. And I almost made it the 2 years, a year and a half. And then I had a very flamboyant exit from that company, which we can go into later.
Jerry Maguire style. Who's coming with me?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. I tried to take a few people with me. But yeah, that was kind of how it happened initially. And we just started working out of our apartment. And now we're here, still working out of our apartment.
Yeah, we knew we wanted a little bit of corporate polish before we tried to launch something. And being in finance, we were like, okay, we want a little bit of personal capital so we don't give up equity in the beginning. And yeah, we sort of just wanted to get some work experience before we sort of just went forward and started a company.
There are also some mistakes that you just have to make, like figuring out who's actually copied on your email, making sure you write the email and then write who it's to before sending it. Things that you learn after you make the mistake, luckily on someone else's dollar for me.
And yeah, definitely much better to learn those things on someone else's dollar.
Well, yeah. I mean, but still, having a startup, you're going to learn plenty on your own dollar.
Yeah,
there's no avoiding that. So Pupwalker, tell us what Pupwalker is. And then I want to hear how you guys came up with that idea in the first place.
Yeah. So the quick pitch is, you know, Pupwalker is sort of like a Lyft for dog walking and pet sitting. We're a pet services platform that allows our customers to schedule an appointment just 60 minutes before they need it. and they're confirmed for who is coming and when at the time of booking. So there's no confusion of, okay, I need to walk. Is someone actually going to be able to make it?
Right.
We operate as a two-sided marketplace. So again, very similar to Lyft. We have our providers on one side, you know, dog walkers, pet sitters, and we have the customers who need help on the other side.
So, and where did this idea come from?
The idea, like most good companies, kind of came about because we ourselves needed it. So when we first started out our jobs, we took pretty high demand jobs. So Alex was gone for probably 14, 15 hours a day. And I would work a 10-hour day, which meant that I was the one that came home first. We adopted two huge, fully grown greyhounds immediately out of school. And we threw them into the apartment and left them there for 10, 12 hours a day. Now, that makes it sound like horrible dog owners, I know. But
we were young.
Yeah, so I would come home tired, haven't eaten all day, and then I would spend an hour, you know, dealing with the situation in the room. So we said, we need a dog walking service. And we looked around, and everyone was just so terrible at it. You know, like you have to set your schedule for a month, and if you canceled, you still have to pay for it. A lot of it didn't make sense. And for us at the time, like, we didn't know what our schedule would look like for the next 12 hours. So we didn't find anyone that was doing it right. And in our classical sort of egotistical way of our generation, we just said, we could probably do this. And we made it ourselves.
I think I just saw an article yesterday that said that millennials are more likely to buy a house based on their dog than, like, you know, children or anything like that. So, I mean, having, you know, dog ownership is something I know. This is not the first startup that I've actually seen at, like, ATV or Switchyards. It's around this whole, like, you know, caring for your pets. Atlanta's a huge, like, dog city. A lot of, you know, restaurants advertise that they're dog friendly. You know, this is a big part of culture and a huge problem for someone like you said, who's, you know, they're doing well in their career, which means their job is demanding more of them, you know, but they still want to give their little guy or girl, you know, some care. So what have you found as you've started to offer this service? First of all, how are you getting the word out?
Yeah, we use a lot of different methods. I mean, in the beginning, it was pure hustle. You know, we'd wear our t-shirts, go walk on the Beltline, walk our own dogs, and just have people ask us about it. We've gotten a little bit more sophisticated now. You know, we leverage a lot of online review platforms, so like Yelp or Google Reviews, so that people can kind of get that word of mouth experience online.
Right.
And our customers really do love our service, so they talk about it a lot as well. We get a lot of customers come in just like, oh, my friend told me about it, or my neighbor down the road told me about it, or I saw one of your walkers doing a walk and they looked awesome. So we get the word out a lot just organically. And we also partner a lot with places like apartment complexes or condos or local shelters to try to get connected with more pet owners. It's been going well ever since, yeah.
And what's your footprint geographically?
We cover just about everywhere ITP right now. So yeah, we're just in the perimeter for now. I think we extend a tiny bit out into Smyrna, but not quite up until like Alpharetta or Sandy Springs just yet.
Yeah, just yet.
Just yet.
We're working on it. We want to make it perfect before we bring it out here for you guys.
That's what it is.
I love it. Yes. So you guys actually launched with like not a whole lot of technology, right?
With no technology.
Zero.
Zero.
Yes. All right. How do you do that? How does one launch with no technology?
Yeah, so people get into this notion that if you want to start a company, you need an app, you need a website, you need all this stuff. And that's kind of true if you're selling software. But for a company like ours, it effectively comes down to how good of a dog walk it is. And so how we actually got our first customer is we just messaged everyone that was in our apartment complex saying, hey, there's this great new dog walking service. You guys should try it out. We got a few people that said yes, they want to try it out. The first walk was just me and Alex, and we picked up the dog and we texted the owner and said, this is what's happening. And that was it. We just texted him.
Super like bootstrap MVP style.
Very much so. I mean, we threw up a Squarespace website in like an hour and then used a call to action that just pointed to a free Calendly page. Because all we wanted to simulate was easy online booking.
Right.
And so for the customer, you know, it would feel very streamlined on the back end. Me and Dave are just like, okay, cool. Here's our Excel sheet. Here's the dog notes. We're just going to pick them up and do the walk.
Right. Well, and I mean, that's so important though, because you guys had an idea. You knew that it was a pain for you, but there's still so much more that goes along with proving out the concept and everything. And so I do see a lot of people feeling like, well, I have to build this solution. It has to be perfect and branded and, you know, all of this. And then they make this big vision that has a big dollar amount. And then they say, well, I don't have that dollar amount. So now I have to go raise money. And then days and weeks and months are ticking by and guys like you are out there just like making it happen.
Yeah. And that's the issue with a lot of companies. And the reason they fail is because the idea that you have for what it's going to be is very, very different than what the consumers actually want. And at the end of the day, whoever's paying for it really dictates what it's going to look like. So spending a lot of time, you know, thinking about what people want is not the best way to do it. It's usually much more profitable to just go out there and do it, fail, make it look ugly, and then people will tell you that we like this or we don't.
Right. And then you have the space. You haven't invested so much. You have that room to pivot and evolve. Is there anything that you guys can point to specifically that, like, this was an idea in the beginning that we realized through feedback needed to change or evolve?
I think one thing that we kind of came to a realization for is that dog walking is a very high trust industry. You know, you're letting people into your home. They're taking care of your like furry pal.
Yeah.
And so in the beginning, you know, we wanted to run the platform a little bit more similar to how Lyft and Uber do it, where it's sort of blind. You don't really know who's coming, but operationally it makes it a little bit easier because then we can just match you with anybody. What we found was that a lot of people have a preference to who they're letting into the home. Go figure.
Yeah.
And so we changed it where our customers were then able to actually choose who their provider were. Or choose any available. So they sort of have the option of, okay, I have my favorite walker and sitter. I want to keep trying to book them if I can. But if I just need someone at 1 p.m., I also have the flexibility to just put that in there and I'll get matched automatically. So that was definitely something that, you know, we looked at it both from an operational standpoint and from like, okay, what do our customers want?
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, I think we should probably let them book the walkers directly because they enjoy that. They like to know who's coming beforehand. They want to build a relationship with their walker, so.
Right. Is there a premium for like booking someone specifically versus just having anyone available?
Not currently. maybe down the road.
Yeah.
We certainly do have some walkers who are very much crowd favorites and they get booked up all the time.
And do you guys do anything to screen them?
Yeah. So there is a pretty extensive onboarding process that we do with everybody. But definitely a background check to make sure that they're okay legally. And then we do a lot of tests as personality and sort of the skill set that they have because they have to come into the platform already being a dog walker because all we can do is take them that last 5% from being a dog walker to a pup walker dog walker.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of screening to make sure that they're competent, they know what they're doing, they also haven't stolen a car in the past. Yeah, that's what we do.
Fascinating. So right now, you guys, when exactly did you launch?
We launched in May of 2015. So just over 2 years ago.
That's when the Calendly page went live.
That's when the Calendly page went live.
I love it. So, I mean, you know, now you have two sides. You have the owners and then you have the pup walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you know, now you have to try and grow both audiences. What has been the bigger challenge?
Well, that's the issue with every two-sided marketplace is that you're effectively running two businesses that happen to work with each other, but only fail if one side doesn't work. So it's a dance that we're constantly doing to make sure that we have enough providers and we have enough demand for them. So I think it really changes month to month. Sometimes we'll have a lot of walkers come in and we'll be okay, and a lot of customers will come in. There is no easy answer to this, and that's the issue with all two-sided marketplaces. Everyone, all the way up to Uber, is dealing with this issue.
Right.
Yeah, I'd have to say both sides are just pretty hard, honestly, because it's always that dance, like David was saying. You're always trying to balance it. If there aren't enough walks for the walkers, they're unhappy, they may leave. But if there aren't enough walkers, then, you know, obviously the customer can't use the walks. And so it's always a dance.
Yeah, the ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. We have here Atlanta startup pup walker, Alex and David, talking all about their launch story. Let's get back to the consumer show.
Mm-hmm.
and the presentation that you guys did. It was hilarious. For the listeners, I mean, I was actually like in the back getting another beverage. And I look up and you guys did your entire presentation based around Elle Woods of Legally Blonde because she has her little bruiser.
Yep.
It was so cute. And so you guys had people laughing and then, of course, you know, obviously explaining the platform and everything. But I just loved how you realize like this crowd is a fun crowd. I mean, we've got the beers on tap in the back. It's a young crowd. Switch Yards is just like super energetic and how you really, you know, brought that energy to the presentation. And I don't see enough of that sometimes. You know, I think people, public speaking, first of all, is just like, you know, so many people are so scared to do it in the first place, but then they give themselves, you know, an even farther step back by just like not bringing any presentation, any fun. So I wanted to hear, you know, how did that presentation kind of come together for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, so we knew the audience was, like you said, it's like younger, it's more fun. We had done some presentations with more investor-focused groups before and knew that we didn't want to do that same presentation. But David is really the mastermind behind that that put together, pun intended. So.
Yeah, well, so how that happened was we had done a presentation, I think, a week or two behind that, where it was a lot of investors, a lot of people that were just, you know, they wanted the numbers and they really didn't care about much else. And Alex was in charge of that presentation and he made it. And so I decided to take on the Switch Yards one. And honestly, it was just so boring to look through those slides. And if I myself was getting bored making it, I thought, this is not how we want to go. And we agreed, let's have a little fun with this. So I was sitting there messing around and I thought, this might work with Elle Woods. So, I mean, that movie's always top of mind for us now. So, it kind of came about and we crafted a story around it and it kind of worked. So, that's where we're at.
Yeah. And so, what's been the feedback? You know, how has the consumer show helped you guys?
Pretty standard stuff. Usually, we'll go into one of these things and people are, it's the same kind of exposure, right? So, depending on the crowd, we'll have people that are saying, you know, if you're looking for investment, this or that. And for something like Consumer Show, we'll meet a lot of people that are looking to be potential walkers, potential customers, developers, lawyers, that sort of stuff. But it's always very positive. The crowd at Switch Yards and in Atlanta in general has been very, very positive towards startups. So it's been nice.
Atlanta's got a great startup community. And there's so many different, I mean, just like with Switch Yards, smaller communities within. Yeah. But all of them have like this just collaborative, you know, yeah. People are so generous to want to help. And that's just been one of the most beautiful things that I continue to see time after time. Mm-hmm. So are you guys pursuing like getting investment at this time or?
I think it's always a little bit on our minds.
Yeah.
We don't need it, but for certain of our growth plans, it would be nice to have because it would just make it easier. So I think we're always open to the conversation right now. We're having some initial conversations, just getting to know people. But I don't think we're like in a hurry to have to raise money or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this seems like another pitfall that a lot of companies go into, that you need this investment. If you make your business profitable by unit economics, then just growth in itself will fund it.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to get an investment, what would be some of the things that you would use the capital for?
Yeah. I mean, I think we'd first thing, we'd probably bring some team members on to help us out. Dave and I run pretty lean, but it does stretch us rather thin.
Would you get new t-shirts?
Yeah. I love these t-shirts. I think we'd probably hire like a customer support person, someone to help bring on more walkers as well, just to offload some of those like day-to-day tasks off of David and I. And I think bigger picture, you know, if we raised money, we would explore expanding to our second city, because then we would have the capital to hire somebody to sort of manage Atlanta while we go there and grow.
Do you already have an idea of what your second city would be?
We've got a few. We, you know, try not to go too public with it because then people will hold us to it. So, yeah, we've got a couple ideas.
Oh, we hate that public accountability, don't we?
The worst. The worst.
I love it. So yeah, what Pup Walker 5 years from now? It's 2000, what? What's 5 years? 2022.
22, yep.
Yeah, I can do math. And we're meeting again. What are we talking about?
Gosh, at that point, I'd hope we'd be talking about...
We're talking
wow.
about how well our IPO just went.
Yes.
I know. Everyone's already always like, you know, I'm out on the beach and all of that stuff. Yeah. But seriously, 5 years. What do you think?
I think Pup Walker by then will have evolved a lot. We're already thinking through a couple of pivots that we can make to make our business better. Different line expansion. So Pup Walker will no longer be just dog walking, sitting. You know, we'll be overnight stays. We'll see cats and probably add on other home services. Since with our platform, you know, our providers are in your home, it'd be very easy for you to just be like, hey, you know, can you just take out the trash? And it's easy right. add-ons. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the standardization of the service industry has been something that's been happening for the last couple of years where instead of going to Craigslist and looking for a dog walker, now you can come on Pupwalker and say, I'm going to pay $20 and I know exactly what I'm going to get. What we're doing with dog walking is happening in conjunction in a lot of other places. So we definitely see in the next 5 years, 10 years maybe, there's going to be a collection of these things. And a lot of people call it the Amazon of services. So you'll be able to go on one website and say, I need my dog walked, I need my car cleaned, also I'd like my floors waxed. And you'll be able to do this all in one place, know exactly what you're paying, and, you know, kind of get it done all in one cart. So I would like Pupwalker to either be that platform or be part of that platform, but definitely there's going to be a conglomeration of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As things start to get niched, it's going to be the natural like force of the market to try and bring it back together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
It's because it's a lot of people that are fighting the same fight. So mm-hmm. it only makes sense that eventually we're all going to come together in some way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I love it.
Yeah. And very
it's
fun.
A little industry secret for you guys.
I know. Dun, dun, dun. So I would love it as we wrap up for you guys to share a lesson learned on this entrepreneurial journey. And it might come from a big success, but it might come from a big obstacle that was in your way. But if you feel like to date, your entrepreneurial journey has a drilled down lesson that you can pass along to someone else, what would that be?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
It's deep.
I feel like for me, I would just have to say, you know, always keep a positive mentality. You know, the highs are high in a startup. You know, when you get a win, you're super happy because no one else drove that win but you and your team. But the lows are quite low as well because, you know, if it went wrong, it went wrong because of you. And so I would just say just always having a positive outlook and really trying to drive decisions with data, which sounds super nerdy, but, you know, believe in what you're doing, but always just kind of have a sanity check. You know, if you're looking at your usage numbers, you're looking at your revenue numbers and things just don't really seem like they're panning out, you know, maybe take a step back and just be like, okay, like, I still think this is a good idea. You know, I think I'm very passionate about it, but something here isn't working. So what can I do to change it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I'm trying to say is keep a positive attitude, but try not to get stuck in the details too much. Because at the end of the day, you are, as a founder, still supposed to be the one driving the business forward instead of just working for the business.
Very true. Love that. David, what about you?
Let's see. I think the best lesson that I can give as a takeaway is in startup and probably just in life in general is you have so many tasks that you think you need to get done. Specifically for startup, though, ultimately, you need to figure out, like Alex said, what you're trying to do here. So for us, it would be the main metrics that we're looking at. And you really need to focus on the things you need to do that day, that week, that month, and only do those things because distractions will constantly come up. All these offers will come up of saying, hey, come here, come try this, do this. And you need to just make sure that if it does not help you with your one or two goals for that day, that you really need to kind of put it to the side. Otherwise, you spend all day just answering emails.
Seems like the easiest thing, but it's so hard.
It really is.
Yeah, saying no is surprisingly hard.
Yes, yes, good. Well, Alex and David, thank you so much for being here today. It was truly a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. And remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.